Sly Stone is known to millions from the records he made with Sly and the Family Stone. But he had a career before he and the family got together, and at one point had his own record label, Stoneflower. Rock historian Ed Ward says Stone's other work adds another dimension to the career of this enigmatic character.
When you think of Sly Stone, this is not the sort of thing which immediately comes to mind. It's Free Advice, a single by the Great Society, recorded in December 1965, and featuring Jerry Slick, his wife Grace, and his younger brother Darby. It may not sound like it, but it took 53 takes to get this one, and the reason for that is right on the record label, which says, produced by Sly Stewart. By the time this was released, the young producer, a notorious perfectionist, had been working for Autumn Records, a label run by San Francisco DJ Tom Donahue and his partner Bob Mitchell, for 2 years. Donahue undoubtedly knew Sylvester Stewart as a fellow DJ who held down a slot on KSOL in the East Bay, and also knew that while Sly Stone, as he was known on the air, loved soul music, he was also way into British rock. Thus, when Donahue brought a band into the studio that he'd discovered in a San Francisco North Beach club, his young producer knew just what to do with them.
Follow your own beaten path. Wander where you can't be grabbed. Be aware of hidden dangers and don't you go talking to strangers.
Don't Talk to Strangers was the fourth charting single Sly had produced with the Beau Brummels, and while it did okay nationally, it was a big enough hit locally that the band was soon scooped up by Warner Brothers. Sly kept busy for Autumn, though, producing hits and misses for the Mojo Men and the Vegetables with a J, whose lead singer and drummer was Jan Errico. If that name sounds familiar, it might be because her cousin Greg was soon to emerge as the drummer in Sly's new band, The Family Stone. When Autumn fell apart early in 1966, Sly was already producing some sessions for Billy Preston, playing in San Francisco with his band The Stoners, and cutting demos with his brother Freddie's band, which already show the fusion of rock and funk.
We got you going, or
what? Wait, no, don't.
Oh, that's what I said.
You really got me? Take four.
In 1967, the personnel of the Family Stone had gelled, and they were on their way to million sellers, Woodstock, and crossover success. In 1969, Sly and his manager Dave Kaperlik incorporated Stone Flower Productions, and soon they were approached by Atlantic Records, offering them a label in which to play Sly's productions. Sly's first two signings for the label were an old friend, Joe Hicks, and a trio called Little Sister, which did indeed have his little sister Vieta, known as Vet, and two of her friends. Little Sister had been a gospel outfit, but like Vet's big brother, they liked to experiment, and they didn't get many bookings, so Sly signed them.
I'm one who wants to be ahead. I stand.
There was no doubt about who was backing them up, of course, and You're the One made it to 22 on the pop charts. The follow-up didn't do as well, but it did give a bit of insight into the new sound Sly was playing with. Stoneflower single by Joe Hicks remains one of the most disturbing records I've ever heard.
Good and the bad, big and the small, in and out, not at all. If it feels good, it's alright. If it feels good, it's alright. Tell me when you feel it.
The extreme compression, the minimalist backing dominated by the Ace Tone Rhythm Ace machine, and the lack of chord progression makes Life and Death in G and A a claustrophobic, paranoid experience. Sly was onto something else now, about to release There's a Riot Going On, and then disappear for 2 years.
Ed Ward lives in France. Coming up, David Edelstein reviews the film Mysteries of Lisbon. This is Fresh Air.